It is Thursday, September 10th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, dramatic scenes of rescues as Japan endures heavy rain and flooding.
Fire department helicopters have been plucking people from the balconies and rooftops in the community of Joso. The military, the self-defense forces, has now been called out.
More refugees reach Austria and Hungary, and we hear the latest about the music group Lady Antebellum. It's all ahead. Heavy rains in drenched areas of central and northern Japan have caused major flooding Thursday, forcing tens of thousands of people to evacuate and setting off dramatic rescues of those who could not get out in time. I'm joined by VOA correspondent Steve Herman, who's in Tokyo. Steve, what is it like where you are?
Well, Sarah, here in Tokyo, it's just been raining constantly for days. There's rarely been a break in the rain. And it's obvious that water was accumulating, especially in the areas that were getting much higher rainfall. But the worst hit area is about 50 kilometers to the northwest of here in Ibaraki Prefecture, a community called Joso. And there, the Kinugawa River has overflown its banks. And there are just scenes that Japan has not seen in many, many years caused by any flooding except for the type of devastation that's been caused by tsunami.
Were these storms predicted?
Well, there has been a tropical storm, a former typhoon named Itao, that's been over Japan for days. And apparently, because of another front out in the Pacific Ocean, this has stayed quite stationary for much longer than expected. But we began to see some real concern early this morning, Japan time, when the meteorological agency issued a warning that's above a red alert. It's a purple emergency alert, their highest level warning of heavy rains, and also red alert for flooding and landslides. And it was shortly after that that it became obvious that there was extensive property damage occurring from the river overflowing its banks and buildings starting to collapse.
How are Japanese authorities coping with this?
Well, fire department helicopters have been plucking people from the balconies and rooftops in the community of Joso. The military, the self-defense forces, has now been called out. At this point, we only are hearing officially of two people missing, but if you look at the scene of devastation, the inundation of the water, you can't imagine that the casualties are going to be that low. And there is a very, very strong concern right now just how many people may be unaccounted for. The good news is that so far, helicopters have plucked 18 people, including children, and additionally some pets to safety. Just dramatic scenes that are captivating everybody in the country here right now.
And what about the situation at the former Fukushima power plant?
Well, there are also concerns about heavy rain and landslides up there. And the Tokyo Electric Power Company has spoken of a lot of water in that area. But we're not hearing of any new significant radiological concerns. It's a little difficult sometimes to get specific information out of the utility quickly, but we're not hearing of any what I would call major radiological concerns at this point.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Steve.
You're welcome, Sarah.
That's VOA correspondent Steve Herman in Tokyo. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. So, Andrew, what is the reaction to all this calamity in Japan?
Well, we're starting to see the initial pictures come in. It's early yet, but as we were just talking about this one kind of iconic picture so far, this older gentleman carrying a box and the water's about up to his waist. So that's been a picture I've seen shared a lot of destruction from the flooding, of the houses being swept away. So it's early yet in this tragedy, this calamity, but I'm sure to see more on social media as more pictures come out for sure. Trending also this morning, hashtag Cizre under attack. This is the town of Cizre in Turkey. It's a Kurdish stronghold where Turkish forces and Kurdish fighters are facing off. And the interesting thing I saw about this is there was some tweet that someone had sent out. It was a picture of Alan Kurdi, the boy who drowned and washed up on the Turkish beach, and a child who was injured in these attacks, and said, what's the difference here? Why aren't we getting more attention? So I thought that was very interesting that they're taking this migrant tragedy that everyone's devoting attention to and saying, wait a minute, we have our own tragedy here that people need to look out for. So I thought that was an interesting play of those two events off each other in social media. But other terrible pictures coming out of there, people trying to raise awareness. They're commenting on our Voice of America Facebook page, tweeting at us, wanting to get more attention on this. So a tragedy there for sure. And we often talk about hashtags here, you know, National Dog Day or National, you know, different kinds of food and things. But this is a good one today. It's hashtag World Suicide Prevention Day. So this is a top trending topic, and I've seen some great things that people are doing. People posting photos and their lists of all the phone numbers for just about every country in the world of different suicide prevention hotlines. A lot of great comments, people saying everyone's struggling with something, be kind to everybody, you don't know what they're dealing with. Other people saying you're loved and valued and putting out good positive messages of support. And then one person I thought had a really great observation. They said every day should be World Suicide Prevention Day. So I thought that was a really nice sentiment. And then finally, into the world of celebrity and Instagram, there's a new queen of Instagram. Not surprising. Actually, it's kind of surprising she wasn't already, is Taylor Swift, a very pop star, very savvy on social media, overtaking Kim Kardashian, who was the former Instagram leader. Taylor Swift has now 45.5 million Instagram followers, overtaking Kim Kardashian, who's 45.4, barely edging her out. So congratulations to Taylor Swift, and hopefully we'll see more from her. She posts a lot of pictures from her concerts and things and her celebrity friends, so it's an interesting watch for sure.
Yeah, her whole life seems to be on the internet.
Yes, and she's very savvy at it for sure.
Okay, thanks a lot, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Pelshevsky. In other news, both Austria and Hungary have witnessed a spike in the number of migrants crossing their respective borders overnight in a new record number for the countries at the forefront of Europe's refugee crisis. Hungary said more than 3,000 people crossed into the country from Serbia from Wednesday night into Thursday morning, while Austria said a similar number crossed into its territory from Hungary. I spoke with Babar Balush, spokesman for the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. He's based in Budapest. At the moment, what is the refugee situation like now within Hungary itself or on the Hungarian borders?
Well, at the Hungarian border with Serbia, there are people that are still coming in. So you have the flow continued. Yesterday, we had over 3,000 people who arrived in Hungary, and majority of them are from Syria, Afghanistan, and Iraq, and a lot of families, especially women and children. So they have been entering Hungary, and last night there were some 2,000 people who had to spend the night at a waiting area before being registered by the police. So it's cold these days, and it's raining right now, and it was raining at the border earlier in the morning.
Are these people able to get provisions, you know, food or some kind of shelter?
Well, UNHCR has been rushing from the local markets blankets and small tents. And other supplies, but there are volunteers as well who are helping in this effort. But the main problem is that the police pre-registration center where these people are supposed to be taken and their details are taken by the Hungarian border police, that's full. And then earlier the waiting time was for a couple of hours, 3-4 hours and five, but now people have to spend the night. So for us, it's like we have been trying to work with the Hungarian authorities in terms of improving their system, and we have been asking them to bring in swift and a quick reception and registration system. But till then, if that doesn't happen, we have to rush in more supplies to help these people.
I believe that I've heard reports that Hungarian troops will now be assisting in this effort.
Yeah, I mean, that's the news. But so far, people have been allowed to come in. Those that have been taking the train tracks from, walking on the train tracks from Serbia inside Hungary, they have been allowed in. So access to the territory is not a problem. The issue is in terms of reception and registration and keeping these people, because the numbers are over 2,000, 3,000. And it seems that it becomes harder for the Hungarian police to register these people, and there are long waits.
And where will these people go? Are they trying to go to Germany?
Many of them do say they intend to travel onwards. So, and there are reasons that they would tell you. It's like they have family linkages and other reasons. But so far, Hungary has had 155,000 asylum applications, and the majority of them have been from Syria, Afghanistan, and Iraq. But a lot of them want to continue their journey onwards.
Okay, well, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
You're welcome.
That's Babar Balush. He's a spokesperson for the UNHCR in Budapest, Hungary. This is VOA.
Here's Science in a Minute.
Have you ever wondered what happens to rain or snow once it falls to Earth? Researchers analyzed hydrogen measurements taken by NASA's Aura satellite to track the flow of water after a rain or snowfall. Among the researchers' key findings are that the world's plants may not be using as much water as was previously estimated. Also revealed in the findings is that water from precipitation penetrates soil faster than previously thought. Of the precipitation that reaches Earth, the researchers found that more than 25% of it runs off the land and flows directly into the ocean. A good portion of the remaining 75% of the non-runoff water is released by plants during photosynthesis, and the rest is evaporated back into the atmosphere. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, we'll get the latest on Lady Antebellum. Ahead of the first state visit to the United States by Chinese President Xi Jinping this month, a new poll finds a majority of Americans troubled by the size of U.S. debt held by China and the perception that China benefits from U.S. job losses. International Edition's Victor Beatty reports not far behind are concerns over China's involvement in cyber attacks and its growing military power.
The Pew Research Center's poll of 1,003 Americans conducted between April 13 and May 3rd indicates that despite China's slowing economy, a majority of those surveyed viewed China as an economic threat. 89% say they take the amount of U.S. debt, $1.27 trillion, held by China somewhat or very seriously. An equal percentage believe China benefits from the loss of U.S. jobs, and about half, 52%, consider China's trade surplus with the U.S., currently $31.2 billion as of July, a very serious problem. University of Chicago Chinese specialist Dolly Young says the survey is further evidence of long-running negative views held by Americans of China.
So this is actually not that unusual. In many ways, it's still business as usual, except some issues are new, especially the cyber attacks. Overall, since 1989, public opinions of Americans about China have been reasonably negative. And that has been going on for more than two decades now.
But Dolly Young says the number of Americans who viewed China favorably in the poll actually increased slightly from 35% to 38%. And he says the survey reveals that Americans enjoying a relatively low unemployment rate still look back to the days when many jobs left for China.
They think, oh, China is the place where a lot of jobs have gone. The irony is actually China is actually losing jobs to other developing countries nowadays because living costs and labor costs have risen in China.
As for the debt, Dolly Young says China is actually putting its trust in the United States to manage its debt, and the Chinese, he says, still view America as a land of opportunity. The Pew survey reveals that even though economic issues continue to shape much of American public opinion about China, there is slightly less concern about these perceived threats than there were 3 years ago. On security matters, Ankit Panda, associate editor of the Asia-Pacific Current Affairs publication The Diplomat, expresses surprise that only about two-thirds of those questioned viewed tensions between mainland China and Taiwan as very serious or serious.
Taiwan is the primary, you know, war-fighting scenario that the PLA sees for itself. In fact, the most likely conflict for China to be involved in the near future, in my opinion, is one over the Taiwan Strait, yet Americans appear not to be concerned over that.
Panda says that will be a matter of concern among the Taiwan people, especially the policymakers. The survey was released as Taiwan conducted week-long military drills designed to repel a Chinese invasion of the island. The Pew survey was conducted before revelations in June that the Office of Personnel Management, which holds personal information on millions of current and retired U.S. federal workers, had been targeted by cyber attacks suspected to have originated in China. 54% of those asked viewed cyber attacks from China as a very serious problem. Panda says he expects that number to increase in future surveys.
We've already seen several U.S. businesses, primarily in the technology sector, meet with the Obama administration, expressed their concerns about Chinese cybersecurity threats. And I think after the hack earlier this year at the Office of Personnel Management, which is unprecedented in scale, I think that we'll also see the cyber attack issue become more prevalent in how Americans perceive the Chinese threat.
Roughly half of the respondents expressed concern over China's human rights record, its environmental impact, and growing military power. China has already become an issue in the 2016 U.S. presidential contest, with Republicans the most concerned about China. 77% of Republicans view U.S. debt held by China as a very serious problem, compared with 60% for Democrats. 65% of Republicans see cyber attacks from China as a very serious problem, compared with 49% of Democrats. However, Democrats remain concerned over human rights in China and its impact on the environment. The survey found that negative assessments of China are more prevalent among older Americans aged 50 and higher, while just 39% hold this view among those under the age of 30. Victor Beatty, VOA News, Washington.
This is VOA.
Hashtag VOA. It's a weekly show, Tuesdays at 1730 UTC, where we bring you the top topics of the week. But the show lives on social media every day with your daily video shorts, What's Trending Wednesday, and the Friday Fast Five. Subscribe to the show at YouTube. You can find us at hashtag VOA. You can reach me at Twitter, at Perry Cal, or talk to the show anytime. Please don't forget to like us on Facebook. We like to be liked. We love to be seen. And you can reach us anytime.
Hi, my name's Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings, your request and dedication program here at the Voice of America. 1500 Universal, Monday through Friday, we're there for an hour playing your favorite music. You can send an email in and request your favorite songs by your favorite artist. You can also phone in as well. We have great contests and surprise guests from time to time. Border Crossings, every single day during the week at 1500 Universal, here on the Voice of America.
This is International Edition. Multiple Grammy-winning trio Lady Antebellum is finishing its Wheels Up tour, and the band will be taking some time off. International Edition's David Byrd spoke with VOA Country Hits USA host Nikki Strong about the move, which will allow the band to be with their families and allow them to work on a song for a Broadway show.
Nikki, this is not unpredictable because two of the three band members have children.
Yes.
And one is expecting their first child.
Yes.
But, you know, Lady A is like a huge act in country music.
They are. They are humongous. And Hillary Scott explained this is not a breakup. This is just a break. And that they have been going nonstop since like 2007 with their first release. And they have been, they've released like six albums, so it's almost been like an album a year. So she said, even though they're very accomplished, they've had a great run, all three of them are ready to just enter the next season spending time with their families. They want to give themselves the gift of time. And so they're going to take some time off, an hiatus is what they're calling it, not a breakup, not necessarily a break.
And see, this is not like you've heard that phrase, I want to spend more time with my family because of like some kind of scandal or something. Hillary had a baby last year, was it?
Two years ago.
So the baby's a couple of years old.
Yeah.
And those are years you don't get back.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're a mom.
Exactly.
You know, and one of the guys in Lady A is expecting his first child with his wife.
Exactly. That's Charles Kelly.
Yeah. And so.
And Dave Hayward also has a little one.
And that's tough. It can be very, very tough. I mean, granted, when you are a platinum-selling country artist.
Yes.
You have a very nice tour bus, but it's not home.
Doesn't compare. No.
It's not, you know, it's not home. It's not your own sheets. You know, it's not getting up and going to the kitchen and getting coffee in the morning or playing in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we've got to go from here to here and unpack and do sound check and maybe grab a couple of minutes with the kids and then go do a three-hour show.
Or, like, do a home-cooked meal or, you know, say, hey, let's all hang out at the house, not necessarily the tour bus. So let your heart.
But this is, as you said, it's not going to be a complete break. They plan to do some songwriting while they're taking some time off, too.
Yes. Apparently, they're going to be part of the SpongeBob musical, which will hit Broadway next year.
SpongeBob being a cartoon character on Nickelodeon.
Yes.
He is literally a sponge in blue pants who lives underneath the sea.
Exactly.
In a pineapple.
Yes. And considering that, you know, they all have little ones, it'll be perfect for them. And so they're supposed to be contributing a song to the musical. I don't know if it's going to be an original song. I'm assuming it is, that they're going to create it, or whether it's going to be pulled from their catalog. But I'm assuming they're going to get together. And because the impression is that they want to spend time with their family, but they still have their creative juices going.
All right. Well, if you want to send a tweet to Nikki, you can send it to @VOA_music. And you can also listen for her and Country Hits USA on our website. That's voanews.com.
That's the music of Lady Antebellum. And that's our show. Please look at our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In the United States, it was called the Underground Railroad, the network of people and safe houses used to help black slaves in the 19th century escape bondage in the South. Recently, a documentary filmmaker traveled to Iraq and learned the story of a 21st century network of people who are risking their lives to help free Yazidi women and girls who have been enslaved by Daesh. The filmmaker, Edward Watts, spoke of the bravery of the individuals engaged in the rescue operations, as well as the level of depravity experienced by the young women who have been captured. Women and girls from minority groups like the Yazidis suffer unspeakable depredations at the hands of Daesh: torture, gang rape, slavery, imprisonment, and in some cases, murder. They are bartered and sold naked at markets, offered up as incentives for Daesh recruits and rewards for fighters. And Daesh boasts about such atrocities, ignominiously claiming that because these women are not Muslims, Daesh fighters are religiously justified in their behavior. But it is not only women from religious minorities who are suffering under Daesh's reign of terror. Muslim women and girls are as well. In its most recent Trafficking in Persons report, the State Department notes that Daesh forces local girls and women under its control into marriages with its fighters and kills them if they refuse. In a CNN interview last year with a Syrian female defector from Daesh, the 25-year-old woman said, "The foreign fighters are very brutal with women, even the ones they marry. There were cases where the wife had to be taken to the emergency ward because of the violence, the sexual violence." The defector, identified only as Khadija for her protection, said that she agreed to be interviewed because she wants to warn people, especially women, who, like herself, are lured to join Daesh through its online propaganda. "I don't want anyone else to be duped by them. Too many girls think they are the right Islam," she said. Daesh As Zainab Bangura, United Nations Special Representative on Sexual Violence and Conflict, has said, has institutionalized sexual violence and the brutalization of women as a central aspect of their ideology and operations. Such brutalization is a blow to human dignity and to the very foundation of civilized society. It destroys entire communities and makes stabilization efforts all the more difficult. And it is a key reason why the United States and its partners remain determined to defeat Daesh.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States.